God bless you. Have a seat. Have a seat. Hey, I just want you to know that meeting that he talked about at 6 o'clock tonight, that ain't going to happen. Because I'll tell you why. I'm telling you why. Tom invited me here for a purpose. And that is, he is a Philly boy. Maybe some of you didn't know that. He's from Philadelphia. That's where he was born. That's where he grew up. And he's a true Eagles fan. He is. And he couldn't contain himself these last few days. So he brought me in to handle the word because he just isn't there. It's a fact. Now look, you see his hair's long too? Did you see that? You know why? It's a vow. Till the Eagles win. That's why he did it. And he's keeping me here till after the game just in case he needs some grief counseling. And that's why he brought me in. So you know the fan that he is, and you also know that he gets the microphone last, and that's always a bummer. But that's my wonderful brother, Tom. So, I do come from the great state of Pennsylvania, and I know there's a lot of Pennsylvania Saints saying, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl tonight. You know, you understand that stuff, right? Hey, let's go to the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts. You know, the past number of months, I've spent a lot of time in the Book of Acts. And, you know, I've read this book many, many times over the years. I've been around God's Word for a little bit. And I've been in the Book of Acts. I've taught some things. But I would like to say in the last number of months, this book has become more and more living and real to me. It's become so vibrant because I'm looking at that book and seeing some great, great truths. Truths I've read before, but they're just becoming more and more clear. This book of Acts, and I think we're all familiar with it. A lot of the headings say Acts of the Apostles, right? And some of them, I think it's the New English Version, says Acts. And that's probably a better title for it because there are a lot of things about the apostles in the book of Acts, but you know something? There's a lot of other acts in the book too. There's other things that are not all done by apostles. They're done by other believers. There's things about angels. There's things about the Lord Jesus Christ did. You know, a lot of magnificent truths in the book of Acts that you see and that certainly unfold as we look at it. But like I said, I've been in it. We did a Holy Spirit weekend in Pennsylvania, and then we had a weekend with our teens. As a matter of fact, teen camp is just around the corner, so pretty exciting. I'm blessed about that, as Tom is, and I know some of you kids are going to be a part of that. It'll be great. But I've been in the Book of Acts because of what I'm teaching. And so today, I just want to share with you a little bit from the Book of Acts, things that bless me and possibly things that will bless you, possibly things that will inspire you. Possibly things that will cause you to go to the book of Acts and see some of the greatness of what God has done for us. You know, the beautiful thing about the book of Acts, it's 30 plus years of things that transpired in the church. And then you can take the epistles when those epistles were given and kind of place them in over that period of time. And so it's really thrilling. So in Acts chapter 1, let's start in verse 1. It says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. This former treatise, that's speaking of the Gospel of Luke. That was the former treatise. Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. God's the author of it. Luke is the one that wrote the book of Luke, but God was the author of it. And that was the former treatise, it says. And also it speaks about in Luke chapter 1, if you ever want to look at that, we're not going to go there now, but it talks about how he received that, and it was perfect understanding from above. That's what it was. If it was perfect understanding from above, it was perfect understanding from God that he received and that he wrote it down. And that book of Luke talks about all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. You see in the book of Luke a lot about what Jesus Christ accomplished for the believer. What was done when he gave his life. You look at the book of Luke and you see how he made known the things of God and he declared the greatness of God. It's magnificent. That's the book of Luke. That's verse 1 here in Acts. And then it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ taught some tremendous things to the apostles. And much of what he taught, it says here, was concerning the kingdom of God. That's what he taught. And that's what you're going to see a lot of in the book of Acts. It comes up about that kingdom of God and what was being taught about it and how they walked with power and how they were now born again ones and some of the great things that they had in the book of Acts. But Jesus Christ taught them some great truths to prepare them for what God had in store. That's what he taught them. And I think many of us are aware of where those apostles were at just prior to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read in the book of Luke where they're arguing who's going to be the top dog, you know? And, you know, right before the crucifixion. And you can read the Gospels. You find out where the apostles were at many times. You know, you can see that with Peter's life. Sometimes Peter would say something and Jesus Christ would say, "You get an A on that, Peter. You got that from God." And then seconds later, something totally contrary to the Word of God. "You just failed on that one, Peter," you know? And you see that with the different men in the Gospels. Then you have a short period of time from that time until the day of Pentecost, and you see this incredible change in the lives of those apostles. And then a tremendous impact that those apostles have on the believers at that time. But let's read a little bit here in Acts chapter 1. It says that Jesus Christ taught them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "You have heard of me." Jesus Christ spoke of that promise. The book of Acts speaks very much about people receiving Holy Spirit, receiving that promise which God had promised. You see it in many, many areas in the book of Acts where people hear and believe and receive. And it says in verse 5, "For John truly baptized with what? But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." He spoke about a baptism that was a past occurrence. He spoke about a baptism that John spoke about, saying that it was only going to be for a time and something new is going to come. Jesus Christ taught him about this Spirit. He taught them about what they were going to receive. And then he tells them in verse 8, "But you shall receive" what? "Power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of" what? Boy, isn't that something? That's what he said. And you're going to receive power. Luke talks about being endued with power from on high. He's telling them they're going to receive power. And you know what that power is going to be for? You see it in the book of Acts. It's for service. It's to do the things that God would have them do. That's what it's for. I think we heard that in manifestations this morning. Didn't you hear that? We've got it. God has given it to us. This tells us a little bit of the unfolding of what was available to the church and what became available on the day of Pentecost. So Jesus Christ taught them this stuff. He set it out there. And you know something, when you look at the end of all the Gospels, you just see that great excitement and enthusiasm they had for that moment that was going to come on the day of Pentecost. Because they had some instruction. They knew things from the Old Testament that were made known to them, that they knew. And then they knew some of these things that Jesus Christ taught. And they were thrilled. They were excited. Great to read about that stuff and see the anticipation that they had for what was going to transpire. So they were going to receive power. Then in this book of Acts, another thing to remember is you have two main guys that are talked about. You have Peter for a number of chapters. He kind of centers around his life and what he's doing. And then Paul, which centers around his life. But in both categories of both men, you see them doing things that God had directed them to do. You see God working. And then, like I said, you see a bunch of other people in the book of Acts 2 where God worked in them and great things transpired because they allowed God to direct. See, there was an ability God had now to communicate with every born-again one, to have access to every born-again one, and every born-again one had access to him. So that's what they're seeing. This Peter guy, he shows up on the day of Pentecost, and he did a tremendous sermon. Remember his first sermon? I think you've all read that. If you haven't, great thing to look at. But where was Peter 50 days before? Behind closed doors for fear. I think he was going to go fishing, right? I think Peter was going to go fishing. What ended up happening? What ended up happening is the Lord Jesus Christ sought him out and worked with him and helped put his life back together again. Because he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I never did that. You know, I never did what he did. But yet, not many days later from that time, there he is on the day of Pentecost, holding forth the greatness of God's word. That's what he was doing. When I see things like that, I know there's hope for me. You know what I mean? I know there's hope for me. There's hope for you. You know, because I see what God forgave him for. And that's another wonderful thing you'll see in the book of Acts. Tremendous forgiveness throughout the book of Acts. What was made known. Tremendous forgiveness. With Peter's sharing of God's word in Acts chapter 2. Let's go to... Let's start with verse 36. Verse 36. It says, therefore, this is Peter closing up what he was sharing on the day of Pentecost. After the apostles received spirit, they spoke in tongues. Everybody in the temple had heard it. They wondered what this was, and Peter answered their questions. They wanted to know what that meant, and he told them exactly what had transpired. And then he gets to this place and he says, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know how assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both what? Lord and Christ. Incredible thing he shared. This is at the temple. This is at a wonderful feast day where all the heads of the families were to be. And he shares this. And you know, the last time this group of people were together was on the Passover. They were in town. They were at the temple for the things that transpired there. And keep your finger here. I want you to go to Matthew 27. And you'll see in Matthew 27, the chief priests and the elders and these guys got the people all riled up, and I think it was Pilate wanted to release the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wanted Barabbas. And he said, I don't find anything wrong with this man. And they said, we want Barabbas. We want Barabbas. And they made a big to-do about having Barabbas. And then in verse 24, it says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, this is 27:24. But that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. This is your responsibility. And you know what they said? Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and who? Our children. We'll take responsibility for his death. The whole multitude said this. Pretty big crowd of people, huh? Less than 2 months later, there Peter is on this day of Pentecost at the temple where everybody was, and he made that statement, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. Now, let's look at verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their hearts. I would be too. Did you ever have a come to the great realization that you really messed up? You know, these people did. Whether they were instigators of it or they were just went along with the crowd, they were a part of it. They yelled it. The whole multitude said it. And some of those people were right there. And it says they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do? They understood it. And Peter said, now's my turn. Now we're going to line you guys up. We're taking names. We're going to knock some heads together, right? Going to get even with those guys for all the things they did to him. No, look at the answer, which is God's answer to these people. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Every what? One of you. Every one of you. It's available to every single one of them. And they knew where they were. They knew what they did. And repent. You can change from where they were at. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the what? Remission of sins. For the remission of sins. You find in the book of Acts that name of Jesus Christ is such a tremendous truth that's made known throughout the whole book. That name of Jesus Christ, the great resources that are available in His name, the great authority that's available in His name, and that here they were going to receive forgiveness of sins. Specifically, whom you crucified, remember? And they said, what do we do? And He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not what you do, it's what He did. It's what He accomplished in His name. For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. And you too will receive that Spirit into manifestation. That's what He said to them. That was the answer to them. And then He said this, which must have melted their heart. It must have caused them to look to God and see how big He was. It says, for the promise, this promise is unto you and your children. Isn't that beautiful? It's unto you and your children. What did they say? Let His blood be upon us and our children. This promise is unto you. That was God's response to this situation. Isn't that magnificent? What a truth. What a truth. Here's these people. What did they deserve? They deserved the hook, right? But what did they get? The greatness of the love of God, the greatness of God's care for them. Like it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the day of Pentecost was fully come. It's something that God wanted all these years since the fall of man. He wanted to restore a relationship. That's what He wanted. So, for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises unto you and your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And look what they did. Then they gladly received His word. Isn't that wonderful? What a way out. And they gladly received His word, and they were baptized in that name of Jesus Christ. And it says, the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people accepted that invitation. 3,000 people accepted the forgiveness of God. 3,000 people received the Spirit of God in their lives. That's what they had. And then look at what it says they did. And they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in what? Prayers. Isn't that something? They continued that way. And you know what's interesting when you think about it? As you look in the book of Acts, you're going to see a lot of wonderful things about the Word of God talking about the church. And it's talking about all born-again ones. And sometimes it talks about churches in a city. Sometimes it talks about, again, just local churches. And here it talks about these 3,000, but you know that they didn't. All right, let's get the food out. Let's feed 3,000. Okay, they couldn't. But some way, somehow, they moved together. They ate together. They just continued to be. Did they still work? Did they still live their lives? Did they quit working? No, they still had lives to live. But they continued steadfastly in the word that was taught. And then every chance they got, they were together. Every chance they got, they were in that word. Every chance they got, there was a time of prayer. And then the next verse says they had great reverence for the things of God. Great reverence. And you know, you go to the book of Proverbs, it tells you, that's the beginning of knowledge, isn't it? The reverence of God. They had it. So you want to see some good ingredients? You can have it. And you know, you can have it with a little group of people. You can have it with a great group of people. you can have that kind of heart, that kind of reverence, that kind of care one for another. They had it here in the book of Acts. And remember, what some of these people, where were they 2 months before? That's right, think about it. Where were some of the apostles 2 months before? But they accepted what God had done for them through the Lord Jesus Christ. End of story. And that's what made them who they were. Then they started walking in it. Then they started walking in it. And it says, let's read on here. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted to all men as every man had what? See, they took care of one another. When they had extra, they took care of other believers. It wasn't that everybody sold everything and threw it in the pot. It wasn't that way at all. Then you'd have a group of apostles with everything. You know, that wasn't the way it worked. But there was a concern for the church. There was a concern for one another. And they, whatever they had, they gave. Whatever they had to give, they gave, you see. And then it says, and they continuing, how often? Daily. With one accord, and they continued in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And that word gladness in other places in the word is translated exceeding joy. They were so elated with what God had done, and that was shared amongst them, you see. A beautiful thing when you read the book of Acts, like here it talks about they continued daily with one accord. That word one accord, it means they were of the same mind. They had the same passion. You understand? That's what they had for the things of God, for the apostles' doctrine, for what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for them. See, they had the same passion. And that shows up a lot in the book of Acts. One accord. You see a lot of neat places where it's used. Hey, and you know something? It's used of the unbeliever also. When they would be of one accord. Just like the word churches, the Greek word for churches, ekklesia. That's used. Groups of unbelievers getting together to do their thing. You see, the book of Acts, incredible. You see a lot of different things that go on here. The book of Acts talks about the Spirit of God, and it talks about other spirits too. You see that in the book of Acts. It talks about the power of God, and it talks about the power of the devil. Sure does. It speaks of men, like we read in Acts chapter 1, being witnesses. Being witnesses. And you know what else it speaks of in Acts? False witnesses. Show up all over the place. Speaks about in Acts about things that people were amazed of, that God had done. They were totally in amazement of the things of God. Hey, flip side, they were amazed of things of the devil too. And then there's things in the book of Acts that talks about great things that were done by the apostles and great things that were done by the unbelievers. It's the same today. It's the same today. It's the same God. It's the same Spirit. It's the same church. The only thing difference is where these people were at and where we are. But that's a decision we make. They decided to be one accord. They decided to repent. They decided to change their mind. That's what we do. We decide that. See? Isn't that wonderful? I'm so thankful. I mean, there have been times in my life where I wish God would just make my mind up for me. At times I think it'd make life a little easier. It didn't work that way. But I have the privilege to change my mind. I have the privilege to turn my mind toward Him. I have the privilege to enjoy His goodness and His graciousness. He allowed me that. He didn't make me do that. And I'm thankful for that. I've got children. And because of God's example, I've learned a little bit of how I can treat my children. I don't think I do it quite as good as God does. But little example has been set for me. Hey, go to Acts chapter... Well, let's just read on here. It says, praising God, verse 47, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then they lived, they enjoyed God's word, and people started coming to the word of God. People started coming and believing the word of God. Go to Acts chapter 3. Peter. Peter healed this man at the temple gate. Remember that record? He did it in the name of Jesus Christ. It was that man believing in what was available to him. And Peter believed in what he had. And tremendous people were amazed at what happened. And he spoke the word and he made known. And he confronted some of those guys again. Told them again. And set the truth out before them. And then it says in verse 19 of chapter 3, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Chapter 3, verse 19. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." That your sins are wiped out. Like I said, the book of Acts deals with that so many times. That's made known. That forgiveness was going to be readily available to whoever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So that your sins would be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That Lord here is speaking about God. In the context, you'll see it's about God. But that refreshing it simply means that they can breathe again. You know, that's what that means. Isn't that great? That they could be converted. They could change. They could breathe again. Have you ever been stifled with heat or cold where you couldn't breathe? Well, these guys were that way from legalism. They were that way from sin. They were that way from looking at their own lives, their own shortcomings. And when they looked toward God and what the Lord Jesus Christ had accomplished for them, they could breathe again. And then, where were they? They were in the presence of God Almighty to have a relationship with that God. How great that is. Did they deserve that? Absolutely not. I think many of us have learned Jesus Christ did it without a cause, right? Without a cause. No reason for him to ever even do it. Other than he so loved. See, and he carried out what God desired because God so loved, you see. So this is what was set before him. "And he shall send Jesus Christ," verse 20, "which before was preached unto you." It talks about that God who we are now in his presence. He's going to send the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that in the book of Acts. A lot of great things about the hope of Christ's return and people living in light of that. Just magnificent. Then you know what else you see in chapter 4? You see the religious element getting a little rough on them. Starting to put the squeeze on them a little bit. But you know what they do? They stand in the presence of those men and just say, you know, you figure out where we're at. But we can't do the things that we've seen and heard. That's what they told them. And they said, you're the ones that crucified him. And they were incredible the way they stood on God's word. Then they went back with their crew. And they got back with those guys together and they prayed. And they prayed that God would watch over them and keep them away from these bad guys. And that they could live happily ever after in their little fairy tale world of all the believers totally excluded from all the unbelievers. No, they prayed for boldness. They prayed that they could deliver. They prayed that they could bring great deliverance wherever they went. Bring healing wherever they went. That's what they prayed for. And then you know what they did? They did that. Isn't that something? This is a church. Pressure from without, you bet. Banging away at them. But where's their mind? Going back to the greatness of God and his word. Going back to what this word of God says. And look at what they did. Verse 31 of chapter 4. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with" what? Pretty exciting group, huh? And this is something that they chose to do. This is where they went with it. The pressure was on. This is where they decided to go. Now look at what they did. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one" what? Isn't that great? And you know what else? You can look over in verse 24. It says, "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord." They had that same passion. One heart, one soul, one voice. How beautiful that was. That was a great group of people. "Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that" what? "Lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet." Isn't that something? this was a while, this wasn't the, you know, this wasn't Wednesday. You know, you had 5 days and now another little thing happened. A period of time had gone on. They continued in the Word of God. They continued in prayer. These were real things to these people. And they started to give. And it says they laid them at the apostles' feet. And there's an Orientalism behind that. There's the, if you understand that the Bible is an Eastern book, they have Eastern custom, Eastern phrases, and they understood them when they wrote them down, when God gave it to write down. They understood it. And what that simply meant was to lay it at someone's feet. They were saying, money is not my God, it's only a servant. And that's why they laid it at the feet. And to lay it at someone's feet, it meant that those that they put at their feet were responsible for the distribution of it, responsible to take care of it. But what they came with was that attitude of, money is not my God. It's not going to run me. I'm walking with you. That was their heart, you see. And you see that in the context, they had anything, they gave it. Whatever they had to give, they gave, you see. Wonderful heart. So you see that phrase, they laid it at the apostles' feet. That shows up in the book of Acts. In this section, it shows up here a couple of times, and it shows up with a couple of people that said, that laid it at the apostles' feet, that said, money is not my God, it's only my servant, but it was their God. And what happened to them? They died. Pretty heavy situation, huh? That's what happened. But I want to show you something here in chapter 4. Verse 35, it says, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And it says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed what? Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money. And he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, here's a neat thing that I saw. And what a wonderful study it is. This is something that we've done in our leadership fellowship in the past year. We've looked at a lot of the men of the Bible, a lot of the different individuals in the Word of God. I think in the whole Bible, there's about 2,400 proper names used in the Bible. And in the New Testament, I can't tell you how many specific believers are mentioned. You know, of the apostles, only three or four of them are named by name. Other times they're just called the apostles. Why? They're so insignificant. Only the four important ones were mentioned. The other ones weren't that important. They had lowly responsibilities, right? Right. No, sometimes people think like that, but God doesn't think like that. I think you all know that we're members in particular, right? Word of God says that. Each one has his own place and function in the body. Each one is needed. Each one is necessary. Each one is essential for the functioning of that body. That's right. They believed that here, you see. They believed it. Hold on here. I got to get a little... So we were studying the men of the Bible, and Barnabas, what a great study. His name was Joseph, or Joseph. And the apostles changed his name. Now, either they did it by revelation, or they did it because what they saw in the man's life. And he called him son of consolation, or exhortation. He was a pretty good exhorting type of guy. Isn't that cool? And then when you look at Barnabas and you see his life, that word exhortation shows up a number of times in the book of Acts surrounding this man Barnabas. Pretty cool. Great study to look at. Great study to see. That's what they named him. You know, you wouldn't call me Skinny. You know what I mean? Hey, Skinny, we're going to name you Skinny, you know? You'd say, well, he's making fun of him. That's right. Because I'm a little chubby here, right? That's right. You wouldn't name that guy that's slow as molasses in January. You wouldn't call him Speedy. You'd only do it to make fun. But if you got somebody quick as lightning, you call him Speedy or you call him Lightning, it's because he's so fast. Well, this guy was a man of exhortation. Boy, and it's great to study him. It's great to look at him. It's great to look at what he did. What a guy he was. What an impact he had on the Apostle Paul. See, sometimes people don't realize the impact we have on others in this wonderful body, you see. But when we walk with him, we're going to have the impact that God so desires. because we are members in particular. We all have an individual function. We all have an individual place in that body. We're all needed. It's so very important. So great thing to look at. You can see that guy that they called him the son of consolation. You know, really cool. So like I said, he did some great things. You know, then Acts chapter 5, they kind of get a little rough on these guys. And lo and behold, now you have angels showing up dealing with these guys. Angels are helping them now. You talk about resources available to the church, but where were they at? Their head was in the right place. Apostles' doctrine, right? Reverence for God. Great signs and wonders because of that reverence. Great things happened. They made those choices. They decided that. And lo and behold, they get thrown in prison, and an angel lets them out, and they're speaking the word, and another confrontation. And they get right in their face again. Where did they get? It says that they noticed that these guys used to hang around with Jesus. And they realized they were unlearned and ignorant men. But they saw these guys had some boldness. And they saw that a miracle had happened. There's nothing they could do about that. Pretty incredible. We've got the same spirit. We've got the same God. We've got the same ability to change our mind and think what the scriptures say. So they deal with these guys, and then it says they beat them. They beat them, and you know a beating will stop the movement of God's word, right? Absolutely it will. Well, let's see what happened here at the end of 5. It says, verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Boy, oh boy. See, look at where the mind of these people went. They must have known something. They weren't working for a good standing, were they? They were responding to what God had done. He has done the same for you and I. That's it. That's the beauty of it. And that's what they did. Then you get to chapter 6. It says that in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because of their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now here you had some little problems from within. And you know, there's always going to be problems without within, but we all have the same God that we can go to that'll give us the information we need to get to deal with that situation. That's right. God is a gracious God. He doesn't abandon. We're in his presence, right? So they had a problem with the daily ministration of the Greek-speaking Judeans. And so they decided to handle the situation. Verse 2 says, the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among yourself 7 men of honest report. Look for 7 men of honest report. You know, it's interesting. You can see in the book of Acts, there's a few men mentioned that were men of honest report. Cornelius is one. Ananias is one. Remember Ananias when he helped Paul? He was a man of good report. And Timothy shows up in the book of Acts as a man of good report. Hey, good company to run with. Good thing to see how these men, why they were men of good report. But here it says, 7 men of honest report. They were well reported of. And full of Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of what? Man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the numbers of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. How? Greatly. And a great company of the priests or the Judeans were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith. Now this word faith in all other translations is the word grace. He was full of grace and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was full of grace. Now, this word grace can be used in a couple different ways, and When I look at the context of this, it could go either way. It could be in light of what he received, he gave. It's also in light of his service. He was separated for service, right? And he was full of grace. Now the neat thing about this full stuff in this section here, it says that they were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Stephen was full of Holy Spirit and wisdom, full of believing, full of grace, full of power. He was full of it. That's right. He was full of the right stuff. He was full of the right stuff. But the great thing about it is the way that word full is used in the Word of God, it's used of like when the baskets, they picked up 12 baskets full of crumbs, right? And it talked about people eating till they were full. Who decided to be full? Did God say, I'm filling him in this wisdom department, in the grace department, in the believing department? It was his decision, you see. He was well reported of. He was a man who took to heart the things of God. And when people do that, then God has somebody to work with. That's right. When they believe who they are and what they have and they stand on the truth of God's word, God has another person to work with. Here he had seven. And great things started to happen. This, you see the word great come up. Another thing too, the word full shows up. It talks about people full of good works. Other places where this word's full is used. Hey, on the bad side too. Full of all subtlety and mischief. That's right. Full of wrath. A lot of full guys, but you got the good full and the bad full, you see. And what an interesting usage here of this spirit that is handled in walking God's power. It talks about information. It's put for information or instructions that God gives. And it's really cool when you think about it. I've used the thing, you're full of baloney. And what I'm saying is, you're full of some information that is not good information. He was full of the right stuff. That's what he was full of. And then he did some great things. We too. Hey, we can do the same thing. We heard it in manifestations, the power that we have. The access that we have to the Father. The ability that we have to serve. That's ours. And it's a simple decision of the mind. Where do we want to go? What do we want to do with this? Young or old? I've only been around a short time. I only know this much. Believe that much. And you go a lot farther than a lot of people go, I guarantee you. It isn't he was filled with all this great knowledge. He was one who took the information of God and walked out on it. When it says he was well reported of, he was of good report, people could see it in his life. That's right. It's really wonderful. We can do the same thing in the church today. We can do the same thing. Same Spirit of God, same God, right? We walk with him and he'll direct, he'll guide. And the book of Acts, you just see a lot of direction, you see a lot of guiding, you see a lot of wonderful things happen because people take to heart the word of God. And then Stephen, it says, let's look at verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So you had the religious leaders in his face, and you know what they did? They suborned false witnesses to testify against him. And man, he spoke the word of God like nobody's business. That's what he did. He spoke the word of God, and it says his face shined like it was the face of an angel. That's what his countenance looked like. And he spoke the truth of God's word. He dealt with their accusations. And basically they said, you're talking about this holy temple, and you're talking about this holy law, how bad we are and what you have done. He basically turned it around and showed them that the God who is holy you have rejected, and his prophets you have rejected. That's what he told them. And I think many of you know what happened to Stephen, right? It says he was stoned. And Paul was right there and did it. And you know, I know from God's word, I know from Psalms, it talks about angels there to protect, God watching over you. But for whatever reason, Stephen put his life on the line. Hey, I know people that are in the military. And what might they do? They might give their life for who? Their country, right? We find that to be honorable, don't we? We do. You know, somebody fights for our freedom and our country, and we find it to be honorable, and they're referred to as heroes, and rightly so. What happens if somebody chooses to give his life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Stephen did. I'm not advocating that. But what happens if someone does? You know, you wonder, well, what happened to God? Where was God? What did he do? Well, we had a man. Hey, we read earlier that they counted it great joy to suffer shame for his name, right? Look at the attitude and heart those men had. They must have believed what they had. There are some pretty wonderful people here. So Stephen puts his life on the line, and then it says, and I just want to read this to you here. Verse 58 of Acts chapter 7. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. They stoned Stephen. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was what? That's right. And you go back to Acts, I believe it's Acts 22, and you read about Saul, and he says he was present when this all came down. He heard the whole thing. He heard the whole thing about God and how you had turned away from the true God. You rejected him. You rejected his prophets. But he didn't believe it at this moment. But you know what ended up happening? A little later on, Lord Jesus Christ reminded him something. Some of the things maybe that Stephen had said. And there was a great change in Paul's life. But I want to read something to you. Look at this at the end of chapter 7. Verse 59, they stoned Stephen. It says, calling upon God, but he was calling upon him, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their what? And when he had said this, what did he do? He fell asleep. He died. What a guy. Hey, you know, I read somebody else in God's Word that said something similar to that. You remember who that was? That's right. Talk about a disciple. Talk about somebody that really, it really lived. It really was a part of their heart. And that man said that. Stephen was present when that happened. When Stephen said that, Paul was present. It reads a little later on that he breathed out threatening in chapter 9. And he went to the high priest. He had this as his mission, to kill those believers any way he could. Imprison them, slaughter them, whatever. The scriptures talk about a lot of different things that he did. And it was him that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to. And you know what was extended to the Apostle Paul? The forgiveness of God. The graciousness of God. That's what was extended to the killer of Christians. The killer of the first century church. And it says he wasted the church. Talk about the graciousness of God. Talk about the goodness of God. This is what's available to every single believer. And Paul received that. And the Lord Jesus Christ, how wonderful that is. He said to them, he said to Paul, Paul, why kick against the pricks, against the goads? And he said, you're persecuting who? Me. That's what he said. That is a wonderful relationship between the Lord and his people. When you touch them, you persecute me. That's pretty wonderful. And he had Stephen killed and others killed. And you know who shows up in this record here? After the heat came down and Paul gets born again and he starts to speak the word, and it says he joined himself with some of the disciples, and they said, No, this guy, this is the trick. You know, this is the sleight of hand trick. I want to go to fellowship with you trick and then kill you. And they didn't want to be around him. I probably wouldn't either. And you know who steps in and puts the thing back together again? Barnabas. Isn't that wonderful? And then you read. You just read through the book of Acts. You see the magnificence of God's goodness and God's graciousness and God's care for the church. That's the book of Acts. So you could put yourself in there too. Same God. Same Spirit. Same direction if you want it. You can be full too. That's right. You can be full too. That's your decision. Some of you were full 10 minutes ago. I'm done. You know? It's that way. Hey, some people have a little appetite. But you know, you can get a better taste for it if you want. You guys learned a song today. You learned a song today. You're going to learn that song more and more. You're going to be good at it. Today, like Tom said, well, it's a start. You know? Well, it starts like that. It starts, you take a bite of the Word of God. You taste of the goodness of God. You taste of that and see what it does for your hunger. See what it does for you on the inside. You move on that. And again, when you look at the book of Acts, just look at the great grace of God, the great forgiveness of God, the great care for God. This is what he extended to him right off the bat. And that's what he extends to us every day of our life. See, every day we can start all over with our God. Every day we can start all over. We can move into a situation and bring deliverance because it's true. It's not because we earned the right to, you see? And that's the way we can live. They lived it that way. We can too. So enjoy the book of Acts, man. What a wonderful book to get into. Like I said, I've been into it for a while. And I've seen more and enjoyed more looking at it. And it isn't because I was stupid the other years. It's just that there's riches in the Word of God. There's just great riches in God's Word. If we go to it, we're going to find them. We're going to see them, and we're going to get to enjoy them. Okay? So certainly a pleasure to be here. Thank God for you, and thank God for the gathering, huh? All right, Tom. God bless.
Word. You know, I think there isn't a Christian who doesn't read that end of Acts 2 and long for that. You know, the breaking bread together, the fellowship, the prayers together, and you know, occasionally I talk to people who either are new to God's Word or maybe are come here from somewhere else, and they say, well, you know, I'm here by myself and I don't have anybody to pray with. And in every fellowship is different. You know, in our fellowship, in particular here in Central Ohio, if you want to experience that, you really have to be part of one of the fellowships in the home. You know, these Sundays are primarily for the teaching of God's Word. And you could, you know, there's a little time afterwards to talk to people. There's a little time beforehand if you get out of bed early enough. But with this many people, as you know, how many people do you get to know intimately on these Sunday mornings? You don't. That's not what they're for. But we have those fellowships in the home on weeknights that everyone's welcome to. And, you know, that's where that intimacy of fellowship is built, where you have a group of people, 6, 8, 10, 12 people, fiercely committed to each other in prayer and in standing together on the Word and helping each other. And, you know, if that's something that's lacking in your life, it's only lacking because you haven't become a part of one of those fellowships. There isn't one of them where the Word of God isn't upheld and where those who are more mature are helping those who are less mature, and really everybody's helping everybody by operating their ministries. So, you know, if that's something you long for, there's no reason it can't be experienced in your life. Perfectly? No. But experienced, you know, because that's part of the Christian walk. As we got into in such detail last weekend, you know, the believers learning to operate their ministries and bless and benefit each other, that's where that's really experienced in a real in-depth and personal way in those fellowships in the home. So if that's something that you long for, it's not a hard thing to procure for yourself. The hard thing is making up your mind, which one of these fellowships do I go to? Because if you hop around, you sort of won't get the benefit of any of them, right? So anyway, wonderful handling God's Word this morning, Jeff. Thank you so much. I forgot to tell you, choir ensemble have CDs and music on the back table to pick up. Okay, what else? Bookstore today, leaders tomorrow night, 16 to 18 year olds over here in a few minutes. And let's sing one more song, number 72. The Solid Rock. By the way, leaders tomorrow night. The plan is for Jeff to still be here. I've got to reevaluate that after what he said this morning. But we'll see. He should be there tomorrow night, but we'll be meeting regardless, okay? Number 72, The Solid Rock. Here we go.